The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, go back, if you will, to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, if you will. Let me reread this for emphasis' sake, if I may. Well, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I could think of a no better time to be able to talk about how God does a work and how God wants us to work than on a Labor Day weekend. So I like to speak on a working God. You know, one thing, coming up, I was raised for the first couple years of my life in Millers, Maryland, on a 280-acre farm. We knew what it was to get up early in the morning, go to the milk cows. We knew what it was like to get up early in the morning and to go collect the eggs. We knew what it was like to work out in the field and run the tractors and do all the heavy-duty stuff that we would do on that farm. We had field hands, and we had all sorts of people that worked on that farm. But as a young man, I knew what it was to be able to work on the back of a hay wagon, what it was to go into one of the three barns that we had and to pack the hay. As a young man, I knew what it was to be able to rise up early, and though you're tired and you don't feel like just jumping out of bed statically and running out to do the work, you got out of bed because you knew it was the right thing to do. And I learned at an early age how to work. I wasn't raised by my parents the first couple of years of my life. I was raised by some old-fashioned Methodists. And then I met my parents and moved in with them at the age of six and was raised by them and, of course, began to develop that relationship with mom and dad. And, of course, my dad worked for a bank. And so I even learned then how dad would get up early in the morning and he would drive down to the Maryland National Bank in Baltimore, Maryland. And he would always get us up early. And it was just a tradition that my dad had. I don't know if his dad had it. I really don't know. But my dad would get us up early, and my dad would give us assignments before he left. And he would tell us that he wanted this done and this done and this done. And so we meet at the table sometime between 4:45 and 5:30 in the morning, every morning. And we would have a light breakfast with my dad. And my dad would give us instructions about what to do for the day or what to do for that particular afternoon to accomplish. And so I've always been one that's been conditioned about work, working long hours and helping people and loving people and doing the labor that God has placed before me. And so I enjoy that. By the way, I don't know of a man that to some degree or another that does not enjoy work. And we love to get with it. We love to get out there and to be able to put our hand to the plow, if you will, and be able to get out there and to be able to do the work. And in this case, now I'm in the ministry, been preaching for over 30 years, been doing the work of the ministry for such a long time that it's second nature to me just to be able to work and help and love people and take people to a different level in serving Jesus Christ. But now I want us to notice some things here about a working God. You know, it's good that you and I know how to do a work, but to do a work without God is a work that will not be prospered. It will not be successful. And so it ought to be that you and I consider allowing God to work not just with us and not just in us and not just through us, but to be able to walk beside us in every fabric of the work that we set out to do. Doesn't matter if you're a lawyer here this morning. Doesn't matter if you work at a dental firm this morning. It doesn't matter. I know we have several nurses that's here that's a part of our church, and we do have people that work at law firms. We have people that work at offices. We have people that work in the Dallas Metro, and we have people that work on the back of trucks, and we have construction workers, and we have carpenters, and we have all sorts of different talented people that is here, and you do a fantastic job with all that you do. But may I say that we ought to consider God being the one that walks beside us as a partner in getting the work done. Let me give you a couple things to think about. Statement number one, God working for us. Now, in your Bible, the Bible says over in Acts chapter 13 and verse 41, the Bible says, "I work a work in your days." All right, so God says, "I have a work that I'm going to do." Now, I want you to consider some things. Would you do it this morning? Somebody complains and they say, "Well, I tell you what, I'm paying the taxes, just so many taxes, so many taxes, so many taxes." But don't you thank God that you're employed? Now, what is that? That is God working for us. You know, the Bible teaches that God is the one that lifts and God is the one that puts down. And thank God that God has given you the ability, God working, if you will, for us in being able to work beside us in a capacity like that. Somebody says, well, my clothes are just a little bit too snug. You know what that means? Probably that means that you've been eating pretty good. Now that's God working for us. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I have somebody that's watching me all the time. It just seems like that it is my shadow. Well, if you have a shadow that's watching you all the time, you can thank God for the sunshine. Because God is the one that provided the sunshine. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I'm mowing the lawn all the time, preacher. I tell you, and I've got to wash the windows at the house, and I've got to clean the carpet, and I've got to clean my room, and I've got to make sure the dishes are washed, and I've got to make sure the gutters are cleaned out, and the gutters are prepared. But now, don't you thank God you have a house? See, you know, sometimes we'll look at it the wrong way, but God is working for us. And sometimes I think that we don't understand how God is working for us. Do you realize this morning that God has been good to you? I mean, God has poured out his blessings upon you. You have health. You've got a degree of wealth. You live in America. You live in a place where there's still the freedom of speech in America. And so God has been very, very good to you. People complain about, especially in the heat of the summer here in Texas. I tell people when they move to Texas, if you can make it through 2.5 or 3 months of intense heat, you'll love the rest of the year here in Texas. But some people complain about that high electric bill. They say, preacher, over the summertime, it's just so high. But you do thank God that it's cool, don't you? I mean, you do thank God that that electric bill produces a little bit of air con or a little bit of air condition, that when you walk into that room at night that you'll be able to breathe and relax a little bit. Somebody says, well, that person that sits behind me, oh, preacher, they sing off key all the time. Every time there's a congregational song, I can't stand sitting in front of that person because they can't hit a note. And they sing off key all the time. Well, don't you thank God that you can hear? You see, you can look at it any way you want to. Well, I've got piles of laundry at the house, and oh, I've got all these kids, and man, I've got a wash, and I've got to iron, and I've got to fold, and I've got to put up, and oh, it's terrible. But don't you thank God that you've got somebody to love? And by the way, don't you thank God that later on, as you train them right, that you'll have people that will love you? I tell my kids, I said, now I understand this. I understand right now, mom and I, we take care of your dental bill. Right now, mom and I, you know, we take care of buying your clothes. I'm going somewhere with this. Right now, mom and I, you know, we take care of making sure that everything is just so proper for you. But there's going to come a day when it's payback time. Hey, there's going to come a day when you know, we might need some dental work. Now, I don't ever want to be, I'm just kidding, I don't want to be a burden to my children, but I'm saying this, I'm saying, thank God that you have family. You said, but preacher, I have a friend that's always irritating, that's always, you know, when I get around them, they tell the corny jokes and none of them are funny. None of them are funny. Well, buy them a joke book. Help them. But don't you thank God this morning that you have a friend? You know, so many times we fail to realize how God is working for us. We look at the thing of well, you know, it's early in the morning, and as it's early in the morning, the alarm goes off. But don't you thank God that you're alive enough to turn it off? Don't you thank God that you're alive enough to get out of bed? Well, I'm waking up this morning, preacher, and I got all the aches and all the pains, but you have life. God has given you life. You'll be able to leave here this morning, and you're breathing this morning, and you're going to go get something to eat this morning, and you're going to go outside, and you'll be able to communicate this morning, and you'll be able to talk this morning, and you'll be able to walk this morning, and thank God, God has been good to you. Why has God been good to you? God has been good to you simply because he is working for us. So many times we look at all the things that is negative. I've got the aching muscles and I've got the aching mindset, but yet you're productive. Now thank God that God has given you the ability to be able to function and the ability to be able to get out there and the ability to be able to go forward. What is that? That is God working for us. Look, okay, so you have a family and things are not going right now. But did you know because you have a family, it means that it could go right later better. Just because things are not going right now doesn't mean that you have to live there, abide there, and die there. Well, you understand, Pastor, man, I'm working at this job and I've got this cantankerous boss and this cantankerous boss is always on my case. Okay, but that's for today. There is a tomorrow coming. You can take and you can build a relationship and you can communicate and God can work for us. And don't forget, you can pray. Don't forget, you can go to God and you can ask God and God can begin to work in the midst of somebody. I love that verse, don't you love it? Where the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord and he turneth it whithersoever he listeth. Don't you love that? You know, there is nothing that God cannot do when it comes to placing things in his hand. Well, you don't understand, preacher. I got a big problem. You don't understand, neighbor. You've got a bigger God. You don't understand, preacher. It just seems like it's overwhelming. Nothing is overwhelming with God. You have a God that looks at your problems and is just yearning for you to come to him, yearning for you to speak to him, yearning for you to ask him, yearning for you to pray, yearning for you to seek him, yearning for you to follow him. You've got a good God. And when you face the problems all by yourself, you're destined to fail. But when you face the problems with God on your side, when you and God connect up and you face the problem in your life, you and God become the majority. You don't have to face any problems all by yourself. May I say this? May I say statement number one, God working for us. You're not facing the, I remember when I pastored in Tennessee and we went to Tennessee. I had not many soul winners was in the church at the time, but I went to Tennessee many times during the week. I'd go out soul winning every single day. And I put in 2 hours of soul winning, outdoor knocking every single day. And many times I'd go out by myself. Now, it's different here because of the fact we have a large amount of people who go out soul winning. I have a men's soul winning team that goes out with me on Saturday. And so I'll have three or four men that will go out with me every Saturday morning. And we'll go out from 10 o'clock or 10:30 or 11 o'clock whenever we get out of the meetings. And we go out to about 1 o'clock. And I love it. I love my men's soul winning team. These guys come out, they're faithful. And boy, we go out and we go soul winning and we enjoy each other's company and we enjoy each other's fellowship and we knock doors. And then I come back in after I eat some lunch and I have a different soul winning partner that goes out with me, or sometimes two that goes out from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And I come back in at 4 o'clock and have one or two more that go out with me from 4 o'clock to about 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And I've got different men that I take out all day long on Saturday. And may I say, I enjoy that, Dr. Smell. I enjoy spending time with men that contact me and say, hey, can I go soul winning with you sometime? Can we be partners sometime? Now, what is that? That is God working for us. God wants to do a work for us. Not only does God want to do a work for us, statement number two, God wants to do a work in us. Look at your Bible, Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, for it is God which worketh. Now watch what it says. Watch, very noteworthy, the way that the Holy Ghost puts these words in concession. The Bible says, and it is God that worketh in you. Now watch what it says. Worketh in you both to will and to do, watch it carefully, his good pleasure. So God says this. He says, I have a good pleasure I want to work inside you. Now, how do you figure out what God's good pleasure is? You figure out what God's good pleasure is the way that he has promised to be able to do a work through you. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand as God works in us and begins to work through us. We understand that God has promised us his presence. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I will never leave thee. I will never leave thee. I remember coming up on that farm and I was scared at night because at night it got dark outside. And for a young boy, you know, when God turns the sun off and it gets dark outside, you get afraid. And on our second, we lived in a two-story farmhouse. And in this farmhouse, you go upstairs, and in the wintertime, there was no heat at all, none. They had a wood-burning stove on the primary floor, but no heat on the secondary floor. And so in the wintertime, you put those blankets, I mean those big old blankets over you. And when you were just a young boy, you used so many blankets on you, you couldn't move. And so you just kind of get pinned in a little bit. But I remember one night I heard something. And I slept in the same room as my grandpa. And I heard something. Oh, it scared me. And I looked over and there was a bat that had flown against the screen and had hit it. And when it hit the screen, it knocked the screen in. And the bat, praise the Lord, was stuck to the screen. But the bat was in the bedroom, stuck to the screen. And boy, I heard this, you know, making that batty noise. And I'd heard that noise before. And so I thought, oh, there's a bat in here. Well, I didn't know it was stuck to the screen. It's dark outside. And so I didn't know it was stuck to the screen. But I knew that if it was going to come in, it was going to come in through a window. And there was only one window in that room. So I knew if it was going to come in, it probably came in through that window. Paul was sleeping in that big old king or queen size bed. And it was a feather down bed. How many of you have ever slept in a feathered down bed? Raise your hand. You know, you can drown in those things. And I remember going over and climbing up in that feather down bed and snugging up next to Paul, and I was scared. Of course, I woke him up. He didn't hear that the screen had hit the floor, and he didn't hear the chirping or the sound of the bat. And so he got up and took care of the bat and stuff like that. No problem. But I was still scared. I mean, I was only about 6 or 7 or so. I was scared. And so I went over and I said, Paul, can I sleep with you tonight? And he said, yes. And all throughout the night, I'd bug him. I'd pull on him. I'd say, are you awake? I'd pat him. Are you awake? I'd wake him up. Are you awake? He'd wake up and he said, yes, Mike, I'm awake. And I would say, thank you. And I would go back to sleep. And then all throughout the night, I would wake up again, and I'd be scared, and I'd start patting him. Paul, 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 are you awake? He wasn't awake. Are you awake? I'd wake him up, and he said, yes, Mike, I'm awake. I said, Paul, promise me you won't go to sleep tonight. Now, he didn't have to promise me because I kept waking him up over and over again. It's like my dad was in the hospital one time, and they kept coming in, and they said, John, wake up. John, wake up. It's time to give you your sleeping medicine. John, wake up. So Paul, all night long, I was waking him up and waking him up and waking him up. And now, wait a minute. You know what happens here? What happens is this. We have to understand. I remember when I was in Union City, I go soul winning by myself and whatnot. And there is times in your life where you feel alone, but as a believer, you're not alone. Have you ever had those feelings where, you know, it just seems like that everything is destitute, everything is foreign, and nobody understands me, and nobody can get a grip because they don't have the problems that I'm facing. They don't have the complexities in life that I'm facing. Hey, listen, encourage yourself with a promise from God where he says that his presence dwelleth not just with you, but in you. And he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise from God. Oh, not only that, but God gives you protection. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, I am thy shield. I am thy shield. So God says, here's what I'll do. I'll not only give you my presence, but I'll give you my protection. Oh, not only that, God says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, he says, I will strengthen thee. So he's your power. So he is that which is your presence, he's your protection, and he's your power. Well, I don't have the strength, God. I just don't know if I can do it. That's when God can help you. Because when you become weak, that's when he becomes strong. The Bible says over in John chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, listen to what he says, he goeth before them. So he leads the sheep. So here's what he says. He says, I'm your presence. I'm there with you. I am your protection. I am your power. I'm your provision. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. I will help thee, he says. He says, I am your leader. I go before you. Then he says this. He says, I'm going to even help you. And I love this. I'm going to even help you to establish your purposes in life. God has a purpose for you. Dr. Nash, if you'd stand up, please hold your Bible and face that piano right over there if you don't mind. My resolve, my purpose should be that I'm going to find what God's will is for my life. Now, there's several ways to do that. One of the ways to do that, Dr. Nash, hold that Bible up in front of you. One of the ways to do that is to follow the Bible. Another way to do that is to find, and he does a great job, our youth director does a super, loves the teenagers. Loves the teenagers. Now watch this, if you will. And so my job is, okay, God, I want to know what your will is, and I want to know what direction to go. And God, I would really like to know your presence, and I'd really like to know your protection. I'd really like to know your power, and I'd really like to know your provision. And God, I want to know your leading, because after all, I want you in my life, but I just don't know what to do. I don't understand purposes. Now, how is it that I can understand readily defined purposes for my life? I find the Bible, but I don't understand the Bible. I read the Bible, but I don't get out of the Bible what others get out of the Bible. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand. You ever been there? Come on, I've been there too. Come on. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever gone to church and a preacher gets up and he preaches and you see something he said, you never saw it before he said it, but now that he said it, it makes perfect sense and you wish that you would have said it. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand. Yeah. So here we go. We got a youth director doing an outstanding job. Here's what takes place. He's not pointing people to himself, but he's pointing people to the God of the Bible. He's pointing people to the living God. He's pointing people to the promises of God. He's not saying it's all about me. He's saying it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you as a teenager, you sit there and you say, I've got a Bible, but I don't understand it. But God has sent somebody in your life. He has sent you a pastor. He has sent you a youth director. He has sent you a Sunday school teacher. He has sent you a choir director. He has sent you some other people in your life, your mom and your dad and others. And what do? They point you to the Bible. And as they point you to the Bible, then there's security. There's security. Okay, watch that. Mrs. Wells, come here, if you will. And let me get one of my children up here. I think they're on the bus ministry, aren't they? Okay, come here, honey, if you will. Let's adopt a child. Okay, come here. You're my adopted son. Come here. By the way, you're the youngest son that would be in my house. I want you to know that. Okay, so here we go. Brother Nash is the youth director. Here, I'm just helping, right? It's called practical insight, okay? And we come to church, and Mom stand right beside me here, and Junior, you stand beside Mom. And so all of a sudden, I get Brother Nash maybe to preach on a Wednesday night or something like that, or my child comes home, and my child says, wow, let me tell you about a Bible principle I learned, Dad. And I say, oh, son, that is so good. Yes, Paul, that is so good. Wow, tell me more about it. And I'm excited, and Mama, she gets excited. She's nodding her head and smiling like a goober. And then we get excited, and as we get excited about this right here, Mama falls in line here, and Junior falls in line here. And I'm going to tell you, that's a happy home. It's a happy home when your entire home serves Jesus Christ. It's a happy home when you lift up the Bible and say, hey, that's my guidebook. That's how I know I can get protection. That's how I know I can get blessing. That's how I know where the promises of the Word of God is. I'm telling you this morning, you've got a good God. You've got a good Bible. You've got good leaders. Thank God for your God this morning. All right, thank you. Be seated, if you will. I love you. And watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand that God is working for us. We understand that God is working in us. Why? How? Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, I know the thoughts. And he said, watch what it says. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. It says, thoughts of peace, not evil. So God says, I just want you to know, I've got certain thoughts that I'm pushing your way. God is saying this. I've got certain thoughts that I'm pushing your way. He said, and the thoughts that I'm pushing your way, it's not evil. I'm not telling you to go to church because it's evil. I'm not telling you to read the Bible because it's evil. He said, the thoughts that I'm pushing your way is thoughts of peace and not of that which is evil. What's he doing? He's trying to give you a purpose. Now, why is it good to have a purpose? Here's what it says, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Bible says, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So why is it good to have a purpose? Because only wrapped around, those purposes wrapped around on you, can you find rest? It's almost like somebody came up to me, I don't know when it was, this week, and they said, preacher, I thought about you at breakfast. Would you like a pig in a blanket? Woo! Boy, you get a pig in a blanket. Now, for those of you that's not from Texas, that's not where we go out and get a pig and we wrap a blanket around it and somebody brings it in. Preacher, I got breakfast for you. Would you like a pig in a blanket? That's not that. It's just a little bitty dog. Just a little bit. Not a real dog either. A little sausage thing. Sausage link. And it comes, you know, you buy them in the store. And, you know, you pop them in the microwave or put them in the oven. You bake them a little bit. And they call it pigs in a blanket. Man, somebody brought that in. I had a cup of coffee and a pig in a blanket. Matter of fact, I had two pigs in a blanket. It's funny, my wife the other day, she gets up. I love omelets. I just love omelets. I just, you know, I have certain things, and I'll help to prepare it sometimes. I chop these things up. I love omelets. I mean, I love omelets. And so almost every morning, she'll fix me an omelet. Well, Brother and Mrs. Nash, you know, they brought me, what was that? Cinnamon roll. And so they brought it by the office and they said, hey, we got two for you. Well, they didn't say for me. So we have two for you and your wife. And I said, oh, that was so good. And I forgot about my wife. I'm so sorry. I ate both. And so I ate them. And Mrs. Nash said, have you had breakfast? I said, no, I haven't. Not an intentionally lie. I just forgot. That's what us men can do, you know. We'll eat all day long. Did you eat yet? I don't think so. Yeah. What time you eating? About 5 minutes from now. Yeah. When'd you eat last? Well, I can't remember that one. So, man, I ate those things, and boy, they were so good. Now what am I saying? You know, that pig in a blanket type of thing, that reminds you of the rest that God gives you. You know, he wraps his loving arms around you and says, look, I know that you're struggling. I know that you're having a hard time. I know that things in your life are it seems like that it's affecting you in an ill fashion. But let me wrap my loving arms around you. Let me be close to you. Let me carry you during your hard times. And that's exactly what God wants to do. May I say, statement number one, God is working for us. Statement number two, God is working in us. Statement number three, God is working through us. He's working through us. And yesterday I was delightfully surprised. 175 soul winners that came out for the sowing rally yesterday morning at 10 o'clock. And then I think 210 for the week went out soul winning. Wait, what is that? Let me tell you what that is. That is God working through us. Amen. Through us. Where we decide that, hey, we don't know everything about the soul winning thing, and we don't know everything about talking to people about Jesus Christ, but we're going to submit ourselves to being trained and helping and loving and caring and reaching somebody else with the gospel and giving somebody else the gospel track and stuff like that. Now, what is that? That is God working through us. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 of the Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Listen, says, we pray you in Christ. Instead, be reconciled. So God says we have, and by the way, reconciling people to God sometimes is nasty. Sometimes it's dirty. Come on. Sometimes it's hard work. Brother Fenton was one of my soul winners yesterday, one of my soul winning partners. We were knocking on the door. He told this lady, he confessed it right out. He said, I want you to know I'm hot. And when I get done this, I'm going home and take a shower. And I thought, well, that was nice to tell her. But you know, he was hot. Man, sweat was dripping down his back, off of his neck. Okay, now wait. And sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it's hot. I asked Chris. Chris is one of our college students, new college student from Ohio. And I asked Chris, I said, I want you to be my soul winning partner. I try to, throughout the college year, I try and take each one of the guys soul winning that's in our college. And so I asked Chris, I said, hey, won't you be my soul winning partner? And so we went out soul winning. I said, hey, Chris, are you used to it yet? And he said, here? He said, it's hot here, preacher. Now, may I say this, that God wants to work through us. Missionary couple to Africa many years ago, somebody asked them, are you satisfied with where God has you? Do you like where God has you? The missionary said, let me answer that question this way. Would you be satisfied to crawl through the dirt, through the vile that we have to crawl through that's at the edge of every hut? Would you be satisfied to get in there and watch your wife crawl in the hut behind you with the dirt filling the fingernails? Would you really be satisfied? Would you be satisfied eating like all the natives and not having American food anymore? Would that really satisfy you? Would it satisfy you to sleep in a room every night where there is no air condition and many times there's blackouts and the fan doesn't even work? Would that really satisfy you? Would it satisfy you only to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, not because you're trying to be healthy, but because the food spoils when the electricity goes off and it doesn't last very long? Would you really be satisfied? The man got kind of quiet. He said, but to answer your question with simplicity, we do not like what we're doing. We dislike what we're doing. But what we're doing is in the will of God. And when God said go, we went. And it's the love of Christ that constraineth us. May I say, sometimes doing the work that God allows to be done through us when we yield is sometimes hard. It's hard to raise godly kids in an ungodly world. It's hard to decide to live for Jesus Christ when nobody else wants to. It's hard to have the character to say, yes, I will, God. Yes, I will. And God, I'm going to put you first. And yes, I'm tired. And yes, I'm weary. But I'm going to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And God, I'll do my best to pass out a gospel tract. Yes, I will. It's hard. But God can work through us. Statement number one, God working for us. Statement number two, God working in us. Statement number three, God working through us. Last thought. God working with us. I like this one most of all. Listen to what our Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive, listen to what it says, not the grace of God in vain. He says, I want you to know that here's what I want to do. I want to make it very, very special to you. And what I want to do is I want to work with you. I don't want to just work in you. I don't want to just work, if you will please, you working for me. But God is working with us every single step of the way. Not just there, not just you walking beside him, but he's working with us. He's just not an innocent bystander. He's just not there existing. He's saying, but when you put your hat, I remember when my granddad taught me how to use a hoe in the garden. I remember that long wooden type of a handle, little hoe on the end, metal. Here's what my granddad did. My granddad did not say, okay, Mike, go at it. He didn't say that. He said, Mike, let me show you. And he put his hands over my hands and taught me how to hoe a garden at the age of 6. Hey, I learned how to hoe a garden. I remember getting behind the plow when I was just a young boy. And I remember sometimes he would plow with a horse and sometimes with a tractor, and I liked the horse better than the tractor. And boy, we get behind that old plow, and the old plow is a wooden plow, and of course it had the metal sheath, and I put my hands down there, Brother Champion, on that wooden thing that would go straight across there. I had no controlling power than if I wasn't there at all. But it was just the fact that Grandpa was walking over top of me, holding on to it, and I'm holding that. I remember first time I ever started mowing. And I remember taking that mower, and back then we didn't use the mower that had the motor on it, you know, where you crank it, and you know, you just, and now it has it, you press a button, and all you do is just walk behind it. Yeah, you press the other button, it goes in reverse. Unreal. Back then we had just the blades, and you just do it over and over again, and if it wasn't sharp, you just kept doing it over and over again. But I remember that. I remember when we got that electric lawnmower at the farm, and I was in charge of mowing the South Hill, and I remember doing that, and I remember the very first time that Grandpa got that thing, and I held the bar, and man, I'm walking along, and it's going putt, 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 and the motor's juicing, and it's putting out. I mean, it was good. But I remember somebody walking beside me. Remember the first time I ever shot a gun. And boy, I put it on my shoulder and I held that thing. And I remember hands coming right alongside of me, Brother Taylor, and helping me to steady it, helping me to point it, helping me pull the trigger, then helping me pick my shoulder off the ground once I pulled the trigger. I remember that. I remember the first time I ever rode a horse that was a wild horse, and they said, "Hey, it's your turn to break them." And I watched the other guys get thrown off. Hello. And I said, "Well, maybe I'll let him go first." Remember first time going out soul winning, knocking on the door and forgetting who I was, my name, where I was from, what I was doing on the street. Knocked the door. Somebody comes to the door. They said, "May I help you?" And I stood there. Lady said, "May I help you?" And I stood there. She said, "Young man," it was years ago. She said, "May I help you?" I said, "I think so." Turned to my partner and said, "What are we here for?" He said, "Let me talk." But I remember that. Listen, I'm saying this, God working with us. Listen to your Bible. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, "And they went forth and they preached everywhere." It says, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So God was working, if you will. How was he working? He was working with them. You don't have to do child rearing by yourself. Somebody wrote this, and I'll close with this. Here's what they said. In doing a survey of 200 members in a local church, they found this to be true. 20 said, "I cannot serve Jesus Christ because I'm too old." That left 180. 18 said, "I cannot serve Jesus Christ because I'm too timid." That left 162. 12 said, "I can't serve Jesus Christ faithfully because I take often trips out of town." That left 150. 25 said, "I can't serve Jesus Christ faithful because I work long hours and I'm tired." That left 125. 20 said, "Well, I can't serve Jesus Christ because after all, I have poor health." That left 85. 55 said, "Well, I can't serve Jesus Christ because I don't even attend church faithfully or regularly. And just to be honest with you, I don't even care." That left 30. 20 of them said, "Well, I can't serve Jesus Christ faithfully because after all, I don't like working for anybody." That left 10. 8 said, "I can't serve Jesus Christ because I work all week long, and when it comes time, I'm too tired, and you just have to get a relief worker for me anyway." That left 2. 1 said, "I'm just too busy doing everything else," that they didn't name. That left 1. And by the way, that 1 is probably you. You know, God looks for people that will work, and he says, "I will work with them." But you have to decide. Come on. I'm done. Hear this. That was the last written illustration. Here's the last given one. I remember the first time I ever went to an independent Baptist church, and they were announcing soul winning, stuff like that. And I thought, you know, as I saw the people sitting there, Brother Nash. As I saw people sitting there, I thought, everybody's going to be excited whatever preacher says. This is church. People love God. So everybody's going to be excited. So if preacher says, hey, we're going to do it, same people would show up all the time. And I was wrong. Now, may I say, listen, but as a young man, I decided, here's what I would do. I can't do what everybody else does, but I can do all that I can do. And did you know when you decide, you might not, and by the way, doesn't the Bible say some comparing themselves among themselves are not? So it's not my right to compare myself to somebody else. It is my goal to serve the Lord Jesus Christ to the utmost ability that I've got. And that is what God wants you to do. But God says, I promise you, you're not going to do it by yourself. God says, I'm going to be working with you. God says, I'm going to be working in you. God says, I'm going to be working for you. God says, I'm going to be working through you. May I tell you this morning, you have a working God.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.